You may be seated. So, this morning we are going to talk about the Holy Trinity mystery. So, of course, I got to begin this by talking about some of the great mysteries that we have seen in our world. Number one, the Loch Ness Monster. One of those great mysteries. Another one, Stonehenge. Who exactly built this thing? We don't know, but it's there. And then we got the mystery of the Edmund Fitzgerald. We really don't know how this thing sank. And then maybe most importantly, the greatest mystery is Bigfoot. That's an actual picture I took, by the way. So Bigfoot was actually somebody I've been interested in, and when I was in college and in my speech class, we had to do a persuasion speech. I picked mine on Bigfoot. Everybody else was picking real topics, but I was like, I'm going to persuade people that Bigfoot is real. And I got an A. Which leads now to Holy Trinity Sunday, which Pastor Sean mentioned before. This is one of the most important doctrines of the Christian church. If any Christian says they do not believe in the triune God, they're not really Christian. This is what we believe in, the triune God. And so let's take a look at the passage here this morning from Matthew chapter 28. Now the 11 disciples were to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So my first question here that we're going to talk about this morning is, who is God? First thing, God is the only true God. So we live in a world that claims thousands of other gods. And there's one major difference between our God, Christianity, and every other single world religion, whether it be Judaism, Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, and whatever else ism there is, every single one of those religions, you have to do something to be right with that God. Then there's Christianity. It's been done for us. Big difference. Who is God? In Exodus 3:14, when Moses was called to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, he meets the burning bush, which of course was God. And after Moses, you know, has all his excuses, he's like, well, who am I supposed to tell them that sent me? And God said, tell them I am has sent you. How's that for a name? I am. And then when Jesus comes, the Son of God, it's no accident that Jesus has all those I am statements that John records for us in his gospel. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the vine. You are the branches. I am the light of the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is God. No question about it. And then, of course, Jesus also promised that he was going to send us a helper, which comes in the form of the Holy Spirit, who is also God. God is God in three persons. So, what distinguishes Father, Son, and Spirit? They are distinguished by their interactions with one another. The Father begets the Son from eternity. The Son is begotten of the Father from eternity. The Holy Spirit from eternity proceeds from the Father and the Son. We confess this, by the way, every single Sunday. We just confessed it in the Nicene Creed. Sometimes we confess it from the Apostles' Creed. This is what we believe. In their relationship to us, they are distinguished by their works for us. And their works can be summed up in one word. So let's look at this. We have God the Father. The one word that can sum it up is creation. He created all things. He created us. He gives us all things. He provides for our needs daily. That's God the Father. The one word that we can sum up God the Son is redemption. Of course, we know him as Jesus Christ, who came and was incarnated by the Holy Spirit. He became man so that he could live under the law on our behalf perfectly and then carry all our sins to the cross, where he bled. Blood's a big word in the Bible, very important, because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So Jesus died, shed his blood for us, and we have been redeemed. We've been bought back through his precious blood. And so that's the work of the Son. And then we got the Holy Spirit, and the one word we can use for him is sanctification, big word, which means to make us holy. When we are baptized, we are given the gift of the Holy Spirit. We are made holy. Yes, we continue to sin each and every day, but we are now God's. The Holy Spirit is the one we get that plants that seed of faith in us, that we can believe in this doctrine of Trinity. And he uses God's word. He uses communion to help strengthen our faith. And so that's the three persons summed up in one word each. And yet I tell you that even though there's one word for each of them, all three persons are involved in all three things. Does that make it clear for you? Together, they are the Holy Trinity. The Christian church has used the word Trinity to maintain the Bible's witness that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are three distinct persons, yet one God. And this really is the greatest mystery of the Christian faith. Three persons, one God. And the three persons find their unity as one divine being called God. They are almighty, they are all creator, they are all redeemer. And yet they are three persons. So I got a diagram up here to help explain this. The Father is God. The Father is not the Holy Spirit. The Father is not the Son. The Son is God. The Son is not the Holy Spirit. The Son is not the Father. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is not the Father. The Holy Spirit is not the Son. Does that clear it up for everybody? It's the best I can do to explain it to you. It's not one God that's divided into thirds. It changes things. It's three persons, one God. And this is what we believe. Because of that seed of faith that we got when we were baptized. And the Holy Spirit continues to grow in us. And so we are able to believe it even though it is a mystery. So we got one plus one plus one equals one, right? No, but one times one times one equals what? And that's the way we can look at it. The Holy Trinity. And the triune God has always been another thing that will blow our minds. Before the creation of the world as we know it and the universe as we know it, the triune God was already here. You can look at Genesis 1:1-3. The Father is there, God, who's creating. The Spirit is hovering over the waters. Well, where's the Son? When God says, let there be light, who is the Word? Jesus is the Word, John tells us. In John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. They're all there. They've been there forever. So what does all of this, this great doctrine of the Holy Trinity, mean for us today? Well, it's actually pretty simple looking at this passage from Matthew 28. Do what Jesus told us to do, which was what? Baptize in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. This is when Jesus instituted baptism. This is when the Christian baptism began. We baptize as a Christian church, and then we teach everything that Jesus has taught us. And that's our job as a Christian church here on earth. That's our job here at Promise. And this couldn't have worked out any better that today I'm going to be giving you the State of the Church address right after the service. And if you want to hear more about the good things that are happening here, you're going to have to stay. So who do we baptize and teach? Well, let's go back to Jesus' words in Matthew 28. He says, all nations. He doesn't give any quantifying things here. It doesn't matter how old you are, which is why we baptize babies. It doesn't matter what skin color you are. It doesn't matter what language you are. It doesn't matter where you're from. None of those things matter. We are to baptize and teach all nations. Are we alone in all this? You know, this can all be scary. At times, living in a scary world where there's all kinds of scary things happening in our world, right? There's a lot of stuff trying to distract us as a church here at Promise, trying to distract each and every one of our families here. Because you see, Satan doesn't like that you're all here. He will do whatever he can to distract you from this. He doesn't like this. He doesn't like the good things that are going on here. So he's attacking. Trust me. Verse 17 in Matthew 28, it said when they saw him, when Jesus met his disciples in Galilee, just like he told them he was going to, before he ascended into heaven, it says they worshiped him, but some doubted. Did you catch those three words? It didn't mean that they didn't believe, but they were having a hard time absorbing everything that was happening. Just think about what they had all experienced in the last 40 days or so. Watching Jesus be crucified, watching him be buried in a tomb and then rise 3 days later and then appear to them. The time, all those times he appeared to them. You know, this doubt thing, this can happen to us in our faith walk at times. And doctrines like the Trinity can get people to doubt and question because in our human brains, it just doesn't make sense. And when we try to make sense with our human brains, we can talk ourselves out of stuff. Doubt is okay to a point, but it can lead to unbelief. Don't let our brains get in the way. We just cannot comprehend everything about God and his ways. There's no way we can understand it all this side of heaven. But we believe, because of that gift of faith that we have been given by the Holy Spirit who continues to always work in us, Trinity is bigger than Satan and his minions. And anything that we face in our lives or anything we face as a church here at Promise, the Trinity is bigger. Matthew 16, verses 15 through 18. Jesus is with his disciples and he asks them, "Who do people say that I am?" He said to them, "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." He's not calling Peter the man, the rock, but his confession that Jesus Christ is God. And as long as here at Promise, we continue to keep Jesus Christ as the foundation of everything that we do, the gates of hell cannot prevail against us. Are we alone in all this? Absolutely not. Look at the last thing Jesus said in Matthew 28. "Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is with each and every one of us, each and every single moment of our lives. Amen.